Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
We're the word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. The word association. We heard the implication. Dessert evaluation. We're the word association.
Oh yes, hello. Welcome. Hi. Welcome to the Word Association Podcast, or TWA. I, of course, am Brett Lyons, and with me, as always, is...
Adol Rafai.
And Rob White.
If this is your more than first time watching or listening to this episode, just know that I was in charge of doing the intro for the first time, and clearly I fucked it up to start with. Adol, why do you delegate this to other people?
Well, here's the thing, Brett. I've more than first time done this, so I figured we'd bring in somebody else, try it out. And that was a great, it was almost like a Walmart greeter voice.
Yeah, well, it was not great.
Well, Brett, perfection is boring, is what I'm saying.
We're going to get into our words here and get started. You know, we got to do that because it's what the show's about. So we don't want to waste any more time. Adol, you want to get us started with our first word of the evening. Sorry,
I feel like whatever time you're listening to,
we're not supposed to time. I've been told many times I'm not supposed to do any references to time, so people are not confused when they're listening.
This could be the morning. It could be at night. We don't know.
It could be night. Whoa, Reagan was just shot at.
Come on, man. Wham is at the top of the charts.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, wake me up before you word. And what is your word?
Brett, a lot of that was, it was like the Miss America speech from 10 years ago, the Iraq and such. Anyway, my word is aliens, okay?
Topical, not because of what time it is, but...
No, this could be referencing topical. Any aliens. I saw, let me be honest. I saw some stuff on TikTok and on Twitter and on Instagram, whatever. About aliens, about there being sort of a court hearing for UFOs. And what I heard was pretty shocking, and it made me think, why the fuck? I think I reached out to both of you at some point and said, why the fuck isn't the world coming to a screeching halt based on what was said? Who knows if these people are lying? Who knows if this is real? I think just because something is in a court setting doesn't make it correct or true.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been a lot of weird trials and court things over the last, like, I'd say 3 years since Trump has been in office. So what are we supposed to believe type stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And it could be this isn't big news because so many people already believed in aliens. And so they're just like, yeah, of course. Anyway, back to my video games. So I have some thoughts and some things I want to say, but I present to the two of you to spark some inspiration or conversation. The word aliens.
Yeah. But also, Brett, for the last 3 years, Biden's been in office. But
you're not supposed to time
this. Or not. My bad.
In office as vice president, perhaps.
Yeah. This may or may not be 2023.
Or senator. We don't know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brett. You were going to say something.
So I also saw that same TikTok stuff. Terrified of them. I think we've talked about that before. But in no way whatsoever do I believe we're the only thing going on right here. There's got to be, with how infinite the space is, there, and the same thing with like the ocean, about how like 70% of it has never been even explored. Like, there's just no way. There's no way we're the only thing going on here. I don't know what they said they have, or what, if they have an alien in custody, or, you know,
in
whatever.
Custody. Hold on, Brett. In custody?
Well, I mean, didn't they say they had a guy? Didn't they say they had an alien? They recovered an alien from Area 51, and then they kept him alive, like in...
You're talking about like a long time ago.
A long time. Well, like, they're saying that, like, there I thought the thing was
There are theories around that may not be really an alien. I know very little about this. I do know there is, what was the guy, Bob Lazar, who was the Area 51 guy.
Yeah.
Who kind of like, there are a lot of like interesting stories about that. And I've listened to him talk. And you know, I also should just say that I think TikTok is alien to me because I don't have it. I'm resisting. I'm not going to do it. But I did see some of the articles, and it is very weird that more people aren't all over this or more upset about it. And I am in that. I'm not, for whatever reason, I'm not thinking about it very much. And I probably should be. I don't know why. I don't
know
why.
Too much other shit going on. And
this should take precedence. This should take precedence over everything else.
I agree. But
I could not, we all agree. Stop. We all agree. We consume 5,000 pieces of new information a day, like we're popping little Tic Tacs in our mouth.
Yes.
Here's what I have to say. In 1850, if like a bird died, that would be the headline for a month. And people would travel from all over the U.S. to wherever the bird died so they could tell their grandkids like about it. And they'd be like, I saw the bird when it was on the ground. And it would be headlines. Google 1850 newspaper headline. Headlines would be like, local man does the splits, or like, woman gets drunk. And that would be, and people would lose their minds and be like, this is good. This is worth what we're paying for the newspaper. And now it's like, somebody came out and said there were organic non-human creatures flying a spaceship the size of a football field that hovered off the ground.
Yeah.
And nobody I know is talking about it.
It's because two things. A, it was like a government hearing. And to Rob's point, there's been so many of those. We don't know what to believe anymore. We've been so, you don't want to say, like, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm on the right wing or whatever, and be like, there's so much different disinformation out there. But it is kind of hard to, I don't know, it is hard to think of, like, if you don't see it with your own eyes, or you don't, you know, see it in a believable sense of, here is an actual video doctored, or here is something like that. When it's just old white guys talking about it, it's kind of like, okay, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know.
Well, I would say, one, I feel like a government hearing legitimizes it. Because it
does it though?
I do. The fact that they're actually having a hearing, one, and two, there are videos that were on the New York Times a couple of years ago, not to timestamp, maybe it was last year, maybe it was 3 years ago. That's also because my memory is not the best. But there were of this guy, I forget his name, who was a pilot who did encounter something. They had a video. It was like, and speaking of Tic Tac, I believe they described it as a Tic Tac shape. And it was like hovering in the air and just went straight down. It's like it moved the way we don't have the science behind that thing. We don't have the science to make that move that way.
But the problem is the video you're describing, I've also seen 100 other times with these supposed.
But these are government videos. But these are government videos.
I get
videos.
That. But there's so many videos out there of what you described, of like a regular person took it from their whatever, which I'm not disputing it. I do believe it's out there, but it is hard, I think, to Adel's point, is we just are thrown so much stuff every single day that I don't think it is as big of a deal. I'm just glad they don't look like, they're not acting like the ones from the Sigourney Weaver movie, because...
You can't remember the name of the Sigourney Weaver
movie? It's called Dave. Dave.
No, I was about to say Alien.
No, I know.
I once caught a fish this
or big. Or Galaxy Aliens. Quest. I think you meant Galaxy Quest.
Yeah,
I will die on this hill. Galaxy Quest is one of the most underrated movies of all
time. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
And so is Dave.
Alan Rickman.
Sigourney Weaver has been in some great movies.
Usually not a fan of anything that Tim Allen does, but yes.
Yeah, true. He's great in that movie.
He is good in that movie.
He believes in the aliens. Here's what I'll say. I think I've talked on this podcast before about how much it stresses me out and gives me anxiety to think of, like, there's all these buildings and cars and stuff, and like, where's all this material coming from? Mm-hmm. I I don't, if you ask me in casual conversation if I believe in aliens, the answer is a hard no. If you make me, as I think about it and think Earth, like Earth back when Earth is around, when Earth was still pristine.
Don't timestamp it. Yep. Back Earth a long time ago.
Earth was dirt, trees, and water. And from dirt, trees, and water, we now have lasers and Dodge Caravans and Snick at night. What alien technology must have been given to us and gifted to us? Because how do we have all this, right? How do we have crew neck sweatshirts from dirt, trees, and rocks? And yeah, you can say like minerals and textiles and resources. And I get that, but like, come on, dude.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, how do we not know that aliens are just always walking among us? You know, how do we not knowing that Albert Einstein or, freaking Alexander Graham Bell weren't just somehow put on this planet and they came up with that shit?
I guess I don't know. Yeah, that's what I will say about it. I feel like whatever they're doing is just kind of, it feels like a checking in, it doesn't feel aggressive. So I think that's a good thing that they're just kind of here and then they leave. And I don't think, honestly, I know there's like the conspiracy, like they're plotting something, but I don't think we're that hard as a world to beat. So I don't think they can kind of like go, oh yeah, no, we've got this. Our ships can do that. We're good. We can be back tomorrow and just kind of like back of the napkin, figure out a battle thing. Like you want to just do
back
of the napkin? Work.
But I guess
a little back
is,
of the napkin stuff.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to say this a lot now because we've done a lot of episodes. I'm like, I hope I haven't talked about this before, but
we've only done one.
That's true. Do we think that possibly there's like seven other Earths? And they're all run by whoever's checking in on us, and they're seeing who's doing the best job with the stuff they're giving us.
Two quick things. One, Rob, I completely agree with you. I think aliens are treating us. You know how like you find an anthill and you're like, oh, look at this. This is so cute. And then you like put down a Tootsie Roll and you go, here you go, ants, like yum, yum. Mm-hmm. And the ants are like, oh my God, we did this.
Who's this fucking perv talking this way?
You never talk to ants
like that?
Tootsie
Roll, yum, yum, ants.
Get my van, ants. If you hand a Tootsie Roll to ants, you put it on their little mound, they're going to be like, we did this. Our hard work paid off. And you're like, oh, this is adorable. That's how aliens, I think, are treating us always. And Rob, I think you're dead on. Mm-hmm. Brett, I don't know if this is true. I have heard that the universe is so is expanding always, which is terrifying. But I heard that it's so vast that there's so many possibilities for other planets that there's other Earths where doppelgangers of us are existing and making the same choices that we have made. That's how many possibilities are out there. I don't know if that's true, but then I've also heard if you shuffle a deck of cards thoroughly, there's more possibilities for what the outcome of that deck of cards could be in terms of like the order of the cards. Mm-hmm. There's more possibilities for that than there are atoms on Earth. And that
is seven times. I mean, I know that seven times you shuffle a deck seven times. That's the number that makes it the most random.
Yeah. If there's more 52 card combinations in a deck of cards than there are atoms on Earth.
Think about
that and sit with that and then tell me aliens aren't real.
No, I mean, I'm not. I just don't want them to look like the scary guys, like
guys. You want Alf. I think we all want Alf.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
We're going to lose some cats. We will lose some cats.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's all, Adel, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to offer up your cats.
I'll give up Coco and that's it.
If that keeps the peace.
We have to go around the horn. New segment. Around the horn's taken, I think. Here's what we're going to call. This is called Imagination Nation. We're going to start with Brett, and each of us is going to describe. Aliens are real. We've discovered that.
Okay.
We're each going to describe what we want aliens to look like. What's the best? You don't want it to look like the Sigourney Weaver movie.
No.
What do you hope they look like?
I hope they look like us, but they got to have something like maybe a gill or something behind. I mean, maybe like Kevin Costner, Waterworld, where he's got those gills behind his ears. So you kind of know.
Okay.
Because you kind of want to know. Or they cry. Maybe they cry blood.
Okay. Both, I think you're describing Bond villains, but okay. Rob, how about you?
Yeah. I want clothes of some kind. I feel like most representations, they're naked. I feel like they're going to have clothes. If they can fly, I feel like they're going to have some kind of, and honestly,
like a suit. They're going to be like a suit on, like a flying suit.
Suit, sure, but I don't want uniforms. I like to think that they can have their own identities. You know, each alien, you could see like a one is a little bit more flair, like, oh, that guy, that's a pretty flamboyant
top
alien.
Hat, yeah, it has
that's a little bit more button up, straight laced. So like you could kind
of
like tell
by
their
dress. They all
went
to Joseph A. Bank. Each get their own style.
Yeah, and I would like them to have hair. Because I don't think the bald thing is necessary. I would like to see some with glasses, just to know that, hey, poor eyesight is a galaxy problem. It's not just an Earth problem. So I would like them to be, I don't need them to be human looking. Well, I guess it'd be weird. Yeah, I guess hair and clothes. And I want their average height. I don't want them to all be the same height. I would like them to be, you know, 5 foot is like tall.
This is also
aliens.
This was also your, like, your Tinder. This was also your Tinder dating page as well. All these requirements.
Yeah. Rob, I gotta say, Rob, clothes, hair, glasses. You're describing yourself to a T.
Wow. But no, I just want variety. Is all I'm saying. I don't want it to be like 100 of the same person or 100 of the same alien getting off of the ship.
Because that'd be hard to, like, if their name was like Greg and Steve, it'd be like, oh, fuck, which one is this, Greg or Steve?
It's just more intimidating. If they all look the same and they all come out, that's very intimidating.
Yeah,
but if they all come out as like, oh, this is a people, or like these are all, like, you know, it feels like there's more that we can relate to rather than we are like, we are one and we're here to destroy you. It's like, oh, hey, you look like, you like books. Or whatever, you know, that. So that's, I guess, what I would say.
Yeah, I get it. Because if they all look the same, it'd be like, oh, you guys are just being created in like a lab. And so like, we'll never defeat you because you keep making, you know, it's like Boba Fett Clone Wars.
Exactly.
Sure. Adel, your imagination nation.
Yeah, thank you. Rob, I think I like yours because I think we're always like, they're green men with this shape eyes and everything. And I do think it's like, if you came to Earth and you were like, if the first two people, you step off your UFO, and you see Danny DeVito next to the guy who played
Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger. There. Yeah, Schwarzenegger is Urkel. You see those two people, you're like, these are two different things.
Honestly, that should be the third Ivan Reitman film. He's got to get them back for, it's like Twins, Junior, and then the first time they see aliens.
I know, that'd be amazing.
The perfect trilogy. But no, go ahead, sir.
Okay, here's me describing what and I think Rob admitted he's an alien. Let that be on the record. I think when he described his alien, he described himself. I think Rob subtly admitted he's an alien, and I think we're going to let that slide because we love Rob.
Thank you.
We need him for the show, so we're not going to, what
did
you
say, Brent?
Isn't
your middle name Glipglorp, Rob?
We're not going to put him. Would you detain him? What did you say? Something where he committed a crime. The alien you said was custody. We're not going to put Rob in custody.
Thank no, please.
I came up with that myself. Here's my perfect alien. Bulbous head. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Bulbous head. Eight legs. A dark purplish color. Lives in water. I've just described to you an octopus.
Yeah.
If you ever look at a video of an octopus, you cannot tell me this thing started on Earth. It can squeeze through a hole the size of a penny.
Yeah.
It can predict a winning soccer team.
Change colors.
It can change colors. It can, or I guess squids shoot ink. Squids are just as bad.
I think octopuses shoot ink as well.
Okay. They can turn, they're basically chameleons underwater.
Yep.
They're
wildly intelligent.
This is the scariest thing I've ever seen. And I think, we eat them and we're just like, okay, we eat them and
I was just going to say, if they walk into a Greek restaurant when they land on Earth, they're going to be mortified. They will be mortified.
Hello,
that's
going to
start a war. Yeah,
what's going on?
You know what's crazy? Flaming cheese is good. Wait, what is the entree?
Calamari was my mother.
I see an octopus every week because I go to the aquarium every week with my daughter. And they
got an
octopus.
Nice. Must be nice.
And they got an octopus den, and they have all those things you described. They have little holes, and you're like, you can fit through that hole? Yikes.
And I think scientists have said they've looked at octopus DNA and they're like, if anything on Earth is alien, I think number one is those little tardigrades, those little Arctic bears, the little microscopic things. And then I think number two is octopi.
Octopi.
We can't stay on this path because we're going to freak out the nation. Brett.
Yes.
What is your word
imagination
for today?
Nation? My word today is monopoly.
Ooh.
All right.
I love it. I love it so much. I love the game Monopoly. I I'm always fascinated when I hear that a company has done a monopoly, and then we have to take them down as a nation, because you're not allowed. Even though it seems like there's so many monopolies out there of companies, it seems
Build-A-Bear.
Yeah,
cornered the market.
You can't build a bear anywhere else. Cinnabon, you know, Ann's pretzels. But like, it makes me more so of the fact that I love the game Monopoly. Mm-hmm. I can never find anyone who wants to play the game Monopoly, and I'm talking to completion.
It's a time commitment. It's a pretty big time commitment.
But I mean, people play Risk. People play Settlers of Catan. Those are all long, fun games. Ugh. But I do love a full legal game of Monopoly.
It's really satisfying when you start to be able to put hotels on properties.
Absolutely.
Like that's when you feel great whenever you do that. I'll give you that. I don't know if I've really, truly ever played an entire Monopoly game to complete. I think it just gets to a point where people are like, we're done. Like, all right, somebody's clearly going to win. Like it's,
I know.
Where it's like everybody's out and you finally get the last thing.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with like seeing the writing on the wall, because that is possible. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to roll yourself out of, you know, death or whatever. But
you think,
I can't remember the last time.
In Monopoly?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just like the Matrix. You die in the Monopoly. You die in the.
I mean, yeah.
Matrix.
If you go on Baltic Avenue at the wrong time of day,
see ya. Yeah. But no, I do love that game. It's been a very long time since I've been able to get like four people together to actually let's play it and play it by, not the weird. You know, there's a lot of house rules with that game. You know, there's a lot of weird. I remember I used to play it with people who wanted to play, but they're like, it takes too long. So we would just shuffle all the properties and you would deal them out to start the game. So everyone started with properties.
Yeah.
Right. Here's fun.
Here's what I think is going on. The Monopoly, people not wanting to play Monopoly today, it would be akin to if you're, say you had like a great uncle who was like, oh, Brett, you came to visit. Why don't we sit in the living room and play some parlor games? I'll put a stick of butter on a broom and you try and blow it down. Like that would be the same. Or if you were like, look at this pin. If I turn it upside down, a woman slips into her negligees. When you're like, I know what Pornhub is. That is the one-to-one of Monopoly is so outdated. The technology for board games today is it's so advanced. There's so many great games that Monopoly, Cranium. Remember Cranium? Like in high school?
Barely.
Cranium was like, how will any game be better than Cranium? Yeah. Now you go to any yard sale or a Salvation Army and there's 50 Cranium boxes there.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. But that being said, I do think it is an amazing strategy game and an amazing...
No.
Yeah, it is. 100%.
There's no strategy. The strategy is to not get caught. If you're the strategy is to say, I'll be the banker, nobody else wants to. And then the strategy from there to not get caught.
It's to cheat and not get caught.
Yeah.
What is everybody's token? I'm almost always top hat if it's available.
I'm always the car if it's available.
It's been a while. Was there an iron?
Yeah.
There was an iron.
I want to say I would do iron or the little dog.
Oh, the dog is a good one.
Yeah.
It was a fun
one. Now, when you used to play back in the day, would you put $500 into free parking in the center?
If that was what the instructions said.
No, it was never in the instructions. It was fully only house rules. Mm-mm. Only house rules.
I'm curious if the tokens are representative of like the Great Depression or something, where it's like one shoe, a dog. Like it all seems like...
They were... I don't know the answer, but I do know they all did have like an actual meaning when the game first came out. And there's been several tokens that have been replaced over time. There used to be a battleship. There was a man on a horse.
Battleship is a game I kind of liked. That was fun.
Battleship's still fun. Battleship's
still fun.
Now that's strategy. That and Mastermind are strategy. I sent recently. I was at a store and I sent a picture to our friend, World News, former World News Tonight member Aaron Keefe, and the box was Mrs. Monopoly, and at the bottom it's a woman in the monocle and top hat and a business suit. And the phrase at the bottom was something along the lines of like, now the ladies are in charge or something. Or like, now a woman can be anything. It was so, it felt so patronizing.
What year was it made? Did you see? Like, was it 90s, 80s, 70s?
I think it was 2000s? Within the last 10 years or so. But it just felt so insulting of like, what are we doing?
It is funny that they did try very hard over the years to make it updated in a way. Like, I know the most recent version, everyone gets a credit card and there's no cash.
Right. Yes,
there's no cash and there's like a credit card terminal on the center of the board. So your credit card starts with $1,500 in it or whatever. And you charge everything that way and you can pay other players.
And they also started doing like city specific monopolies or like teams.
There's everything.
They really branched out and did
everything now. And it's absurd. There's some that shouldn't ever have been made.
I think every sports team has one. There's like, you know, Lakersopoly or Bearsopoly or whatever. There is one that I'm almost positive there's a Monopoly version where you're encouraged to cheat, where it's like in the rule, this sounds stupid, but in the rules, they kind of lay out how you can cheat, or I'm sure it's more open-ended than that, but that's like the whole thing is not getting caught. Two things. One, do we think Mr. Peanut is probably Uncle Moneybags' son?
Rich Uncle Pennybags?
Rich Uncle Pennybags?
I think they belong to the same club. I don't know.
I think they're
in the same club.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they probably both go to the same social events and stuff like that.
Studio 54.
Mr. Peanut, good to see you.
And then did you ever do McDonald's, the Monopoly pull tab
thing?
That
was, and I'm so glad you said that because that was the other thing that was on my mind. I love the McDonald's Monopoly.
Yeah, it is. When I first saw it, I was like, I don't want to do this. And then as you pull them, you're like, wait a minute, this is kind of fun. And you think there's several moments where you're like, I got two out of the three. I practically have this PT Cruiser in my driveway.
And I don't eat McDonald's anymore. But you would go all the time just to get a soda because you get two. And I actually had a buddy who worked at a McDonald's and he would take handfuls of hash browned containers because they had two, pieces on them.
Sure.
And he would bring those home and we would peel off like hundreds of things. And we got so much. We never got anything. We got tons of free food and shit like that.
Right. Yeah.
But, and then we all found out later on.
That's against
the
law.
The entire thing was a scam.
Really? There's a documentary on HBO.
There's a two or three part documentary
where they go into like somebody worked at the printing facility and was like taking the big prizes out, giving them to people. They would cash them in. That guy would get a big cut and pay them out. So it was like a huge scandal.
Yeah. Like four people on the same street won huge prizes.
He got greedy. He could have gotten away with it if he did it like once or twice, but he just got, I think it was a he. I can't remember.
You had to give him 10 grand. So he would know where the piece was. Mm-hmm. And so you would give him 10 grand and then he would tell you where to go to get that piece.
My memory might be fuzzy, but I feel like he took them and gave them to people to just claim.
But you had to go. He said you had to go someplace and bring the piece like you had just peeled it.
Oh, maybe that's right. It's been a while since
I've seen that. There was a time where you could get a free piece in like a People magazine.
Okay.
So the guy went to the drugstore and bought a People magazine and like opened the People magazine in the store and like made a show like, oh, I won, I found it, or whatever. But yeah, to Rob's point, he got super fucking greedy. And like,
that's how you get caught.
Like a guy like at, 104 Main Street won the Dodge Viper. And then a guy at like 107 Main Street won like $50,000. And they're like, something's going on here. It's actually really, it's a good doc. It's a good documentary.
I know you mentioned you haven't eaten there, right? McDonald's is actually my only active boycott that I have not eaten in McDonald's since the year 2000. And it's just one of those things now where I just feel like I've got to keep it up for life because if I ever were to buy something from there, it's washing away a good number of years of boycott,
Yeah. What started the boycott?
Yeah, what spurred it?
Yeah, it should be something more. Honestly, it was just where I went to school. It was an urban setting, so and the McDonald's was like very busy, and so it was just like a lot of people, right? It was just like a city McDonald's. So already the city McDonald's, I feel like, are rougher than just your regular McDonald's. and the service was just terrible. Like, you would go in there and it would take like 30 minutes. It was just awful. And I was like, you know what? I'm not eating here. And then I read Fast Foundation and I was like, you know what? Yeah, you know, I'm just not going to. But it didn't start as like this, hey, you know what? What they do to potatoes is not cool.
what do they do?
Inhumane.
You don't know what they do to potatoes? There's only one kind of potato.
Hold on.
Michael Pollan talks about this, who's, I forget his book that was so great. He's a food scientist.
Was it called Potato Potato?
No, it wasn't McDonald's specific. It was called The Omnivore's Dilemma. I'm glad that popped into my head. It's a great book.
Nice.
But
he goes
into talking about this stuff. And there is I think it's called a russet Burbank potato, I want to say.
I heard Burbank. Yeah, we talking potatoes, right?
Yeah, it's jaywalking. But so that particular potato is prone to those brown spots, those blemishes. But McDonald's is very particular. Like our fries, they like that potato because it's long. So it makes the long fry. So it's like in their like French fry container, it looks really nice. Like it looks appealing and appetizing. So they like that potato, but they will not buy any potatoes that have any blemishes because they need it to be like a perfect looking potato. That particular potato, again, is prone to those things. So there is like a pesticide that they have to use that kills a certain thing that causes those blemishes. That pesticide, like farmers will spray their farms, but then will not go out into their farms for like 6-7 days because it's so toxic. Then those potatoes have to be taken into a facility where they're basically like aired out for over a month to get that pesticide off. But McDonald's has this buying power. So like, that's just what farms have to do to keep the McDonald's business.
Sounds to me like they're maybe adding some flavor.
So that's what makes them so delicious, right?
No, that back to Adel's always point of like
aliens are real.
No, of like surplus and supplies.
Yeah.
Adel and I did a tour of the McDonald's facility in mm-hmm. Chicago with a chef,
okay. mm-hmm.
and somebody asked a question. And they were like, "Oh, you remember you guys had like that blueberry yogurt parfait?" And the guy was like, yeah, we had to discontinue it because if we rolled that out into every single McDonald's in the world, we would dilute the blueberry product to the ground.
Dilute it? Or just like exhaust it?
Destroy it. We would exhaust it.
Yeah, I think he said, so this was the head chef of McDonald's.
At the time,
gentleman. He was like the head chef, which I know, it sounds like I'm joking that they have a head chef, but he truly was the head chef. But he said something along the lines of, within 6 months, blueberries would not be a thing on Earth.
Which is just crazy to think about.
Which is insane. Yeah. Exactly.
And that also makes you think like, but we could just do chickens and cows, no prob? Like, but blueberries are an issue, but
That's what gets into it. You think about that. Think of every grocery store in America and think of how much just buildings? Chicken breasts are on the shelves at any time.
How do we have all these buildings and cars and stuff? I own 50,000 things in my house. How does everyone...
This is turning into not the word association, but the conspiracy association very quickly.
I will say with Morgan Spurlock, I think at first I was like, oh, Supersize Me, this documentary is mind-blowing. And then I was like, I had a little thought and I said, if I went to any restaurant anywhere, except for like Salad Tony's, if I went to any restaurant anywhere and ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Don't you even dare mention Salad Tony's. What kind of dressing you want?
Yeah, come on.
Hey, is that a bib on your shirt?
Yeah.
Bib lettuce? Listen. Come on down to Salad Tony's. We'll take care of you.
That's a nice guy. I'm going to give you croutons. I'm going to give you some croutons. You're a nice guy. Let me give you some croutons. Please take it. Come on.
Hey, Sal, come out from the back. This guy says he's Romanian. And I said, the salad?
This is like my mother used to make. She used to make a beautiful ranch.
Did you say ranch? Sorry, come here. You say ranch? No, you get Italian. Hey, you get Italian.
We call it dressing. Okay, that's enough of that.
I got a guy in the back for $20 who toss you salad.
But there's no place on earth if you eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that you don't. Your body
and you
doesn't
get the
start
biggest
to go,
size
whoa.
Of the thing. You're gonna
suck it. Yes. Yeah.
And yeah. I understand fast food.
I get it.
For me,
I get it.
Every once in a while is a little treat. Here's what I'll ask.
What's your favorite fast food? Oh, no, you go ahead.
Yeah, Rob, I think you might know this, and you'll probably be disgusted. My favorite fast food is Long John Silver's.
I haven't had it since college. They're hard to find. now. Yes. They're like practically gone. They're hush puppies.
That was an A&W root beer.
Their hush puppies were, I mean, I went to high school with a guy who worked at a Long John Silver's. Oh. And he told me he tried to make a gigantic hush puppy at work, but it didn't work because the inside wouldn't
cook.
It's just like that batter. He made like a larger than a softball size hush puppy. He tried to make a gigantic hush puppy, and he couldn't get it to cook in the middle.
Of course.
So it backfired. But
Interesting.
I used to love that place. And I did. So it hadn't been for years. In college one time, we sought out, we found one, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. And I got the Crispies. Did you call them Crispies?
We called them Crispies. Rob, I think we bonded over this when we first became friends.
I probably did.
Yeah, Crispies, yes.
Yeah, Crispy. You always get extra Crispies, which was the best. But I got the fish, I got hush puppies, and I ate it and I felt so sick. Yes. It was just, I was like, how did I ever eat this? I felt so bad after that meal.
And if you look at the menu, fish is spelled with two I's, so they're not lying to you, but...
No, they are not. They are definitely lying to you. A lot of Long John Silvers are nowhere near where there's any water whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay, well,
so that's your favorite, Brett. What's your favorite fast food?
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, it's hard because I don't... I mean, I would have to say as of late because my daughter eats all the time, and I get... It's Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
I do like Chick-fil-A. If we're on a road trip, the only places that I will eat would be a Wendy's or a Chick-fil-A. That's the only two things I'll eat. And I only eat them on road trips. I don't eat fast food any other time.
Yeah.
Now, what I would like is if any one of our listeners are there and they're tech people, please somehow develop an app that when I eat at Chick-fil-A, whatever my total is, the extra change immediately goes to like LGBTQ like causes, because I want to eat there, but I don't want to give them money because they are kind of a bad corporation, but they make just very easy children finger food to eat when they're eating just for the first time.
And you don't want to just take that on yourself because then you're going to have like a donation history of like Brett Lyons donated 62 cents to this cause.
Correct.
Like you're going to look like a real cheapskate. Like,
yeah, exactly.
No, there's the reason behind it is, but correct. You're just going to look like, what is this?
I just wanted a way where they
loosen
scan
up
it,
the pocketbook.
When they scan my, like, you know, when they scan my Apple card, that it automatically just takes it and makes it a donation for the month.
I could definitely see a Curb episode of Larry being like, I rounded up.
I did my own rounding. They didn't ask me to round. I did my own rounding. Yeah. No.
Very quickly, Chick-fil-A, the perfect crime, Brett, if you want to keep eating there, order your food. And as they hand it to you, as you take the tray, drop everything and then go, oh, whoopsies. Me have slick fingers. And then they'll make you a whole new order. And then you eat that one. And that way
you've like
balanced
neutralized.
Out the order. I don't think that's right. But you might get someone fired. So never mind.
I think they're going to know what's going on after the second time I do it. Like, you're not allowed in this restaurant anymore.
Rob, what is your favorite fast food?
You can eat here on Sundays. And I'll go, okay.
I don't really eat it now. So this is going in the past, but I also worked there for like 8 or 9 months during high school, but it would be Wendy's. Which I think is a testament to, I saw how the sausage was made. I made the sausage.
Wendy's sausage?
Well, I mean, it's just an expression. I did make the chili and it was old burgers from the grill.
That's fine.
Just the way they, it's just, I think it's not of all the fast food. It's not, I feel like it's the best. And there's like a real grill. The beef isn't fresh, not frozen, which is kind of nice. It comes in fresh. And I did. So I would say them, but I couldn't tell you the last time I actually ate at a Wendy's.
Yeah. Spicy chicken is a tasty sandwich from the Wendy's as well.
It's great.
They have very good fries. Obviously, got to dip the fries in the Frosty. Rob,
absolutely.
You
I would never 100%. Do that in a million years.
Well, I don't. So that's the same thing. It's like, to me, that's like someone who likes candied bacon. It's just a salty and sweet
like
together.
No.
Rob, did you work at Wendy's when someone found a mouse in their chili?
No. Ooh, but
a thumb. I think it was a thumb, actually. Sorry.
My favorite Wendy's story is I was like, they started this campaign, which I thought was so dumb. And I refused to do it. We had to wear buttons and it said, we'll see you tomorrow. And it was this marketing campaign where you'd always, when somebody would order, you'd have to say thanks and we'll see you tomorrow. planting the seed, right? This is brilliant, right? Yeah. This is really like mental stuff. So you say that, so then the customer will come back tomorrow. And mm-hmm. I refuse. My manager was like, you have to do this. Like, this is a marketing push. You got. And I was like, I won't say it. I will not say it. And they kept like forcing me. So then I was like, all right, we'll play this game. And I drove my manager, because I would just say like, thanks, and I'll see you a week from Wednesday. Thanks, I'm going to see you, and I'll see you in 6 hours. And I just kept like, what's the point? We're just saying this. It's all so stupid. Let's just have fun with it.
Thank you.
Did
I'll
you
see
work
you
at
in
Wendy's
1742.
When the salad bar was still a thing?
We did not have a salad bar at that Wendy's. Okay. There used to be one, but not when I worked there.
Also, I think thank you, see you tomorrow is Salad Tony's catchphrase. Well, it's more of a threat than a catchphrase.
That is more of a threat.
Thank you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
And we'll see you right after this break.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, and we are back. And for my word, we are going to do, we're going to go to the email. And we have a listener submitted word. So let me go ahead and I'll just read this email. Word suggestion is the subject line. Don't know if I really needed to say that, but I did. So it says, short-term listener, first-time caller. Word suggestion, bliss. I wanted to think of a more clever word, but I like the happy ones. And that is from Nick. Thank you very much, Nick. And I think, you know, thank we do you, need Nick. A happy word after all this heavy factory farming, aliens, you know, we're destroying the planet, or somebody else is going to destroy the planet shortly.
Sure.
We're now in a happier place, yes. And the word is bliss.
Nothing yes. makes me more happier than the sweet bliss of death. You know, just now I'm kidding.
Oh, no.
Honestly, you know, the first thing that popped in my head was Miss Bliss.
Me too. 100%.
Same. Me too. Saved by the
immediately.
Bell.
Immediately.
I was waiting to speak about Saved by the Bell.
So perfect. And what is happier than Saved by the Bell?
I mean, nothing.
Maybe not some of their lives.
And wasn't
as time went on. But,
call me crazy, but wasn't the show originally called Miss Bliss?
It was called Miss Bliss. And then they brought in, they made the kids the focus, and then mm-hmm. they changed it to Saved by the Bell. And here's something I need you two to tell me. Obviously, our brains are hyper-synced. We all thought of Saved by the
right.
Bell.
Yep.
And we're very good friends. Here's what I want to ask. Did you ever realize or put it together? Because I just realized this a few months ago. His name is Saved by the Bell. His name is Principal Bell Ding.
I never put that together.
Never.
All.
Never thought about it.
Oh, my God. It is right in your face and so obvious. And
isn't
I never that, thought about it.
Isn't that wild?
Wait, is he supposed to? So are we supposed to think that he's the hero of the show?
Well, no, but just his name is Bell. And then the sound a bell makes.
Brett, what do you think I was saying?
That there was like some secret thing where like he was saving everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I got to the final season where like it was maybe.
Brett, your idea was so dumb it came back around and is amazing. If it was Saved by the Bell and Mr. Belding, Principal Belding, was a superhero called the Bell, I think that is actually a very good idea.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And I don't want to blow your guys' mind, but do you know, in Hanging with Mr. Cooper, the star what? Was Mr. Cooper.
Wait, hold
so
on.
So it was like we were hanging with him.
What? And Cooper rhymes with Hooper.
Oh, no.
Oh,
did
my
you know
God.
That in Mr. Belvedere... The
scratches on the
name.
China.
Well, do you know what that first line is, by the way? Because I had to Google it.
I think it's scratches on the China, right? Scratches
close.
On the China.
Because
have
we were walking
four.
One time, and my wife, I brought up that, I think I was saying that seems, and she said what she thought it was. I was like, that's not right. I know that's not right. Because she said, streetcar to China. I was like, there is no streetcar to China.
You drown, yes.
Yeah. No, it is. So I had to Google it, because I didn't know what it was. It was streaks on the China.
Oh,
that is
because
it. Streaks
he's the butler.
On the China. Exactly.
Streaks on the
never
China.
Never had them before.
Never worn them before.
Oh. And then I just drop kick the jacket. It can't be dropkicked. Yeah. What a mumbly theme song.
Yeah, it's not dropkicked.
Mr. Belvedere is like a UFC fighter.
Drop the jacket.
I like it. Well, I'm just picturing Mr. Belvedere riding a streetcar to China and then drop kicking a jacket.
Yeah. Mr. Belvedere. So if Mr. Belding was the superhero, the Bell, what do we think some of his superpowers would be? Let's revisit what served us so well earlier in this episode. Let's go back to Imagination Nation.
I think timeliness. Timeliness, you know, he'd be.
It feels so
be
good to be back in Imagination Nation.
His big move, much like, I guess, Superman's eye lasers or Batman's money, his big move would be something where if someone was stressed, like if someone had just been like tied up by a criminal or something and the Bell let them go, he would have this thing called a move where he puts his hands on their shoulders and it's called detention. Where he relieves all the tension in your body and soothes you to help you forget about this traumatic experience.
That's his only power.
Wait, it's not getting any better than that. What are there, some of the other last names from that show? Lisa Turtle.
Lisa Turtle.
So that
Lisa
Turtle. Mario Lopez was AC Slater.
Slater.
Zach.
Which sounds like a Turtle and Slater. These all sound like superhero. I think Brett. I think you discovered the true Zach. What is his name? Zach Morris. We lost
Kelly Kapowski.
POW, Kapow.
Kapowski.
Tori.
That's what Batman says.
What was Kapowski. Tori's last name? What was Tori's last name?
Spelling.
Tori
no,
Minori.
No,
I know. Jesse Spano.
I think this is real.
Did Screech have a last name?
No, Screech is, he's like a, like he's a bat. Like he screeches, and that's like a sonic blast. Anyway, I think truly we've unearthed something.
What was the name of the restaurant? Was it the Max?
It was the Max.
Which is, and I'm not lying, the Max is a comic book character. He was a big purple guy from like the early 90s.
And the guy who ran the Max was named Max and he did magic.
And he was a magician.
It writes itself.
Maxchick.
That's what
matchstick,
he should have said.
Matchstick men.
Matchstick 20.
Matchstick would be fun. A little magic, a little shtick. I could go with that.
I truly, now that we're saying all the names, the last names, Screech, Kapow, Spano, Slater, these are Turtle, these are all superhero names. So this is actually fascinating.
You got to go back and rewatch all the seasons.
And it was Bayside High,
stuff.
Which doesn't
mean Bayside.
Tigers, yeah. Go Tigers.
But I did love that show.
Yeah.
And I did watch the college years too.
I did watch California Dreamin', I think was the other one that was supposed to be like that. But then what's funny is they had California Dreamin', and then it's someone like was like Saved by the Bell was like, ah, fuck you guys. And then Saved by the Bell then just did.
They went to Miami?
No, they went and worked at their summer
at
job
the
was they worked at.
Was it in Florida?
I don't remember the character's name.
In Hawaii,
names.
I think.
Leah Remini's Beach Club. The father was the guy who's been in. The father is like, you would cast him as Salad Tony. I don't remember what his name
exactly
is.
He's
a great character actor. Great character actor, but I can't remember his name.
I think he actually has played the bumbling mobster in several movies.
Yes. Mickey Blue Eyes. Did you guys ever watch Kids Incorporated? Speaking of Denver the Dinosaur, that's one of the best theme songs of all time.
Kids Incorporated.
K-I-D-S-O, looks like we made it. Rob, anything?
I know it was a show. No, I don't remember. I don't know that I ever watched it. I remember it being around, but I don't think I ever watched. So I was more just listening to the theme song and enjoying myself. I had nothing to say.
Now, was California Dreamin', because I was aware of it, but I never watched it. Was it a kid show based on the Mamas and the Papas?
It was.
Yeah, I wish
Mama
it was.
Cass was
yeah. So
Mama
basically,
Cass ran the diner.
Yeah,
so every time she had a
that,
sandwich,
yeah.
you
there was a Manson.
Panics?
There was like a Manson season.
Yeah,
that was
they
a
were trying
weird.
To figure out exactly what happened in the town as to why all the leaves turned brown and why the sky was gray. they were just trying to figure out this mystery. No, it was basically. It was so funny because it was just the beach Saved by the Bell. It was the exact same show, and it came on right after it in that same block.
Yeah.
NBC, I think. It had to have been NBC. I'm
Does
positive.
any other state have a... So there's like a California Dreamin'. Is there any other like... there's like New York State of Mind. Well, that's Billy.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I love
there's
that.
Like,
you
Texas.
Could be like a New York State of Mind.
Don't mess with Texas.
Don't mess with Texas. That's aggressive, right? I like the New York State of Mind.
Apropos,
Virginia's for lovers.
Yes.
Sure.
You're the only 10 I see.
Live free or die.
Again, too aggressive. Is that New Hampshire or Delaware? One of those too aggressive.
I think that's New Hampshire.
Yeah. I would just say live free or, you know, there are other states.
Live free or fries.
I don't think you need to be live
Come
free
on,
or
McDonald's.
Fries.
How could you not get on that for the New Hampshire?
Virginia is for burgers.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if there's a, like, I'm trying to think, like, Carolina on my mind, but that's,
I think, more, I guess Georgia, music Georgia's stuff. On my mind, right?
Yep, I think I'm wrong. Oh, no, I'm thinking of In My Mind, I'm Going to Carolina. Is that James Taylor?
I don't know.
Yes, Can't You See the Sunshine?
Yeah, something like
that. Can't you know. Just Smell the Moonshine? Have you ever been somewhere, and we talked about this previously, have you ever had that moment, like that moment of momentary bliss where you were just like, I guess if you had something, you know, it's like a lot of times if you like take a bite at a very fancy restaurant and it's just like, oh, you just have that moment of like, you all know, we all know that the rest of the things in our brains are working, but there's that momentary bliss of just like, that doesn't get better, any better than this.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, I probably have had momentary bliss. I can't think of anything, but I do think it's important to mention bliss does feel like a moment. I don't think you could have like a blissful day.
No.
Bliss feels like a moment or it's shorter.
Fleeting. It's fleeting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. It's like a, yeah. I don't know what that, it's just like a warm, nice feeling, comfort. It's a, yeah, yeah. It's a good, this bliss.
Let's talk about.
Unblissable. I almost said unkissable, which is rude. Unkissable.
And also popped in my head as a blister, which not fun at all.
Oh, not fun.
No.
Especially between the toes.
Oh, what?
You never had a blister before? I got blisties on my fingers, on my toes.
I mean, I guess. Not
who
between
screams
my
is that
toes.
Ringo that says that?
It is Ringo.
I do think.
No, it's Lennon. Lennon yells it at the end of Helter Skelter.
Speaking of Manson.
Absolutely. His favorite record from Jail, the White Album. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bliss is, does feel like, it's almost like something's, you know how they say, if you believe in this stuff, which I don't think we do, if like a ghost passes through you or something, it's like, ooh, I felt this chill. That's about the length of like bliss, right?
Oh, but that's not the feeling of bliss.
No,
I would
imagine.
That's not, you're not like, ooh.
Ooh, this alien has.
Ooh, well, is that a go? Ooh.
Did you forget anything? Need to come back?
I think Dan Aykroyd in the first Ghostbusters would disagree with you, library scene. But I do think, yeah, bliss is like that. It's like just a few seconds of your whole body's, your brain is sending signals to all ports, you know, like dear arms, dear legs, dear tummy, like things are pretty good. And then after that, you're like, oh, look at this asshole who just like drove in front of him, whatever that is.
Do you know,
you're back to hating everything.
I think a feeling of bliss is, I mean, food could definitely be a blissful thing, but I do think, I think a moment of bliss is something like you just finish like a great date or something, you know, when you're like going, leaving there and just like, you know, that,
yeah.
I feel like that's a nice blissful
feeling. You're talking about the best moment of bliss is like you walk up to the front door, you do kiss, and then she says goodnight and you close the door and you turn around and you're like,
yeah. Yeah,
that's
like a song starts playing. Like, ain't that a kick in the head? Just starts playing,
like if
or something.
You, like if you, like, and if you really felt like we both were connected.
Yeah, that.
Or you walk home. You walk home like, well, I guess she liked me. She would ask me up, but I guess fucking that. I'm unbelievable.
Well, that's welcome to my world of like, oh, bliss. And then 5 seconds later, like, oh, she hates me. She hates me. There's no way.
Welcome
like, yeah,
to
she's never
my world. You walk her to the door. She turns around. She leans in for a kiss. There's a moment of bliss on the lips. She goes inside. She shuts the door. You're walking on sunshine. You pass by her husband's car. You jab a knife in the tires.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy, she's going to leave him soon.
You walk her home. You kiss her. She whispers in your ear, yip, 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 yip. And it turns out she was an alien the whole time.
That's actually pretty terrifying.
It would be.
Whatever that noise
that's the way does, aliens talk.
And then she goes, Natasha, what's her name?
Leon.
Species?
Natasha Henstridge.
Tongue through the ear, out the other ear, brain dead.
Brett, you sounded, I would bet $1 million. You sounded exactly like if, what's that guy's name? Jim Varney, who played Ernest?
Yeah,
if
he, Jim Varney.
If you reverse any line of dialogue he's ever said, like, hey, Vern, what's going on? Like, if you reverse it, I think that was exactly what you
hey,
did.
Hey, Vern. Hey, what you doing over there, Vern? I love that. Was a great, that was a, now that was a killer. Ernest Goes to Camp is
it's great.
So good. Ernest Halloween is amazing.
His TV show was great.
It was such a great show.
It was very. And honestly, he was great in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes,
he was.
He's like a deep fried Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
When we're recording this, Pee Wee Herman is either. We won't say. Who knows? Who knows?
I mean, you would know. You would know just by mentioning it and us talking about the other guy.
Yeah. What am I mentioning?
Obviously, rest in peace. And that is, you know, there are two people I've been told that I looked like in my life, and he is one of them. So, you know, rest in peace, Pee Wee Herman.
Pee Wee's Big Adventure, one of my favorite movies.
It was, it's fantastic.
Amazing. The part where he just goes, and knitting, and when he yells.
But Big Top Pee Wee's also underrated.
It's really good. It is really good.
I mean, they're all good.
When he goes into the pet store, In and Out, and also right before he says and knitting, when he goes like, did you have something you want to share, Amazing Larry? And I'm like, Amazing Larry's the funniest fucking name for anyone.
For anyone, yeah.
I still have dreams where, remember when he gives Francis a piece of gum and then Francis starts spitting black? Where I'm like, oh, that is so weird. He's in hell.
I was terrified by Large Marge for a while.
And then you go back and watch it and you're like, this is the most claymated.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's.
I really want to watch it with my daughter, but I think she's too young, but also I would have to skip over that part.
I would say this, seven's an all right age because I showed it to both of my kids and they loved it.
They loved it. All right. Good to know.
And Rob also showed one of his kids Beetlejuice, and both. That's my they favorite movie. They both saw it.
Yeah.
Right now we're living in Elmo's world, so we're having a great time.
St. Elmo's Fire. Now that's a good movie to show kids.
Never seen it. Great song though. Great soundtrack. Love the St. Elmo's Fire song.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
Well, if you love any 80s movies that you'd like to tell us about, or if you have an idea or script for a Saved by the Bell superhero spinoff, please email us at twapod@gmail.com. We thank you so much, Nick, for your email. If you'd like to hear your email read, please send us a word or just send us, like we said, any thoughts or anything like that. Also, hey, if you're enjoying the podcast, tell a friend. Let someone know that it's out there in the ether.
Just like aliens.
Just
like aliens, yeah. And, you know, if you're at Salad Tony's, you know, drop a business card in the bucket and you win a free salad.
And here's what else. Here's a challenge I'll pose to listeners. Ooh. Call your cousin and say just like this. Hey, you know that new podcast you were looking for? Well, listen to this. And then play the podcast over the phone. I think your cousin would get a huge kick out of that. You can also rate and review us most places, and that helps the show out, I believe. I've been told that helps shows.
Sure.
So please rate it and review it. Set it and forget it. Brett, please go ahead and take us out.
Well, if you're having a good time, please do not pass go. Do not collect any aliens. And please leave yourself with just a second of momentary bliss.
Hey, Vert,
I think there's some aliens out there.
Zatarans.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.